It's time for Tom Girl with JJ Jurgens. A different breed.
Welcome to Tom Girl, where we talk all things sports, entertainment, fashion, and adventure. On this episode, we're talking cocktails and off-roading with Angela Rickerson. Angela is the bar manager at one of Seattle's top restaurants, Copine. And when she's not creating delicious drinks, you can find her exploring the outdoors and tackling rugged terrain in her Jeep Ronda Rhino. She'll also be competing in this year's Rebel Rally. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I appreciate it. I love your all you're doing outside, your adventures and these delicious drinks you make. So I can't wait to talk to you more about it all.
I wish I could give you a sample right now.
Without the videos you sent, you making the ones, I was just like, oh, the cucumber, everything looks so fresh and delicious. So
Well, I love making non-alcoholic drinks too. That's why I sent that one to you, because not everybody wants to get drunky, you know, but you want to have something really fun and delicious. And having like a kind of simple yet slightly complicated recipe that to like impress your friends, I think is really fun.
Yeah. And that's huge right now when people are doing, you know, the dry months here and there and just trying to kind of, you know, I think everybody maybe drank a little too much during the pandemic and we're all trying to cut back a little. But so what are your favorite kind of mocktails, your non-alcoholic ones to make?
You know, I started to make my own non-alcoholic amaros, which in Italian just means bitter. So it's like a bitter, herbaceous, sometimes earthy, concoction that doesn't have a ton of sugar, which is important to me. I don't like incorporating a ton of sugar, mostly because, I mean, sugar makes everything taste good, but it's not particularly flavorful or healthy. So I tried to make things that are different, have different flavors and mix with other stuff just to incorporate variety. So I do that a lot at the restaurant. I also really try to source local products from people that are making stuff locally. And one of my really good friends, he used to be a chef. During the pandemic, he started a company called Beneficial Brewing. And that's a kombucha company, and he makes amazing kombuchas. And so I source a lot from him, from just all over Seattle, wherever I can find interesting new products from people.
And what are some of your favorite then just ones that maybe people could make at home on their own?
You know, so I sent you a recipe that you can share with your viewers. It's a cucumber gin fizz. And it's vegan also, so it incorporates chickpea juice, which is kind of a strange ingredient, but it works just like egg whites would in a cocktail, so it makes it like frothy. And so that one's really fun. I also like to use, there's a new product called Roots Divino, and that is an aperitif style. I believe it's from Greece. And that's non-alcoholic too. So there's two different types. One's a Rosso, which is like a sweet vermouth, if you will. And then there's another one called the Blanco, I believe. And that is a dry style vermouth. And so both of those mix really beautifully with like tonic, or you can just drink them straight, honestly. But so those are two really good options. And you can get that all on Amazon. Easy peasy.
Nice. I looked at the restaurant and you have like an extensive, you know, kind of bar member and some very unique cocktails. So talk to us some about the cocktails that you have there and how you created that list.
The list changes constantly because the food changes every week. A lot of people don't realize that, but we have a new menu come out every week for the food. So keeping the cocktails new and fresh and that pair with the food somewhat is a bit of a challenge. But basically the menu is just what I want. It's super selfish. All of them are just things that I want to drink. And I find that my guests really love classics. So usually there's a few classics that are recognizable and maybe local riffs. I've said it already, but I really like to source as locally as possible to support our economy. So I usually do I don't know, maybe a old-fashioned style, maybe a Manhattan style or like a martini style. And then the rest of the drinks will be things that are a little more avant-garde. So things that maybe you couldn't make at home or wouldn't know about. So I'd usually try and keep it pretty balanced with acidity and sweetness and bitterness. I try to balance that all because our food tends to be on the richer side. So if my drinks were super rich or super sweet, it wouldn't go very well.
And this is a top restaurant you're at. You guys were up for the James Beard Award this past year.
We're really honored to be involved in the James Beard for last year. Just being nominated at all is a huge accomplishment. Just being in the top 20 is an insane accomplishment because it's nationwide. But being in the top five was really, really huge. So we are very proud to be there.
So how did you get started in getting interested in making drinks?
Well, I've always been in customer service. My college and high school job was Starbucks. I worked at Starbucks for probably like 10 years. And that's before Starbucks was like automated, right? It was back in the original days where people actually made coffee. I worked there, I started there. And while I was in college, I worked at a Starbucks downtown Seattle. And I am not a morning person at all. So I worked, you got a cute doggy.
Likes to do cameo appearances.
So I worked downtown at night. And so all of my customers then were the bar owners, the people that worked there. And it was kind of a club district. So it was a lot of people that worked in the clubs. And I just got to know them while I was working. And one day in particular, I noticed there was a bar a couple doors down from where I worked, and I noticed everybody was really stressed out. Like everybody was stressed out. And finally, one of them, I was like, "What's going on? Why are you guys like so stressed? Like everybody is just in a weird mood today." And they're like, "Oh, we had like all these people call out sick, and we have like a super busy night, and they're like, we're just really stressed about it." And I was like, "Hey, I get off at 10:30. Like, I'm out of here, and I can wash dishes. Like, I can wash dishes. I can like clean up. I can do whatever." And the guy was like, "Oh my gosh, really?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't care. I'm not doing anything. I thought maybe I'd get like a free drink out of it or something." So like after my shift, I like went over there, and I spent the whole night just washing dishes and like picking up and doing stuff. I'd always been in the service industry, so I kind of get it. So I did that. And at the end of the night, every single person that was working there handed me like $100, right? So I walked out of there with the most money I'd made in months. And that kind of just stuck with me of like, okay, this is lucrative. It's something I'm good at. Like, and I enjoyed it. Because I really like fast-paced stuff. Like if things are not moving, I get bored and I can't pay attention. So like the fast pace of it was like really right up my alley, and the time too, because I like staying up late. So it was perfect. So, that was just kind of like my jumping in point right there.
Would have been some things now that working as the bar manager that you discovered or have happened to you, while you're working. Any good stories or lessons or things that you've learned?
Oh my gosh, so many. One of the key things to the service industry, I think, is having a short memory. Because honestly, if you dwell on all of the crap that happens day to day, like you couldn't go back to work. But there's been so many positives too. The people I work with now are like so supportive and kind. I love them so much. And they really went on a out on a limb to hire me as their bar manager, which is really, I mean, you just sometimes need a break, right? Especially this industry, because it's kind of a boys club, and not meaning in gender necessarily, but more of like it's who you know to get hired. So if you don't know people, then it's probably not going to happen. So you kind of just need that one person to take a risk on you. And so I really appreciate the people that I work for now. They have been super supportive and, you know, giving me the creative opportunity as well, like just letting me take the reins has been huge. Because if you work for someone that is constantly editing what you're doing, it's hard to be creative. And they have kind of just let me roll with it, which is awesome.
What do you like best about your role?
Creativity is really a big thing for me. I love to be creative. I love making new things. But also connecting with my guests is really, it's why I come back to work every day. So.
And for those people who maybe you say, you know, it's got to know somebody, which is, you know, so many industries is knowing somebody, get your foot in there. What about those people who don't? Like, what would you suggest they do while, you know, they're trying to get their foot in the door?
I think that like the obvious answer might be to go hang out at places. However, I might say don't do that. Because I think a lot of the time that's what people will do, and that can shoot you in the foot. So if you do want to like break in somewhere, I would say putting yourself out there, writing a really nice resume, and figuring out like what time this place is open, and don't go there when it's open, you know, go an hour before it opens, knock on the door, be kind, don't take much of their time, and just be like, hey, I just want to give you my resume, like, let's chat sometime, or send them an email, follow up, that kind of thing. But I think people that aren't in the industry will come in during service hours and be like, I want to talk to you. And I understand that, but I can't take the time. Like, I have paying guests here. Like, I can't take the time. And it shows inexperience, which is usually if you're at the level that I'm at, we aren't interested in someone without experience. So I think being mindful and coming an hour before service and handing a resume and just being like, I don't need to take your time. Just like read this, call me back, I'll call you, that sort of thing, I think is a really good way to go about it. And just keeping a good head up, because it may not always work out. You just got to keep on trying, you know, and diversify, go to different places.
Yeah, well, speaking of diversification, what I love, another thing I love about you is you are just all over it in the outdoor world. So you have your Jeep, Rhonda Rhino. So tell me about Rhonda and how this part of your character got developed and how you got into off-roading.
Yeah, it's super funny because my lives are so different. Like, my life in restaurants is very buttoned up. Like, I always joke around, my boyfriend makes fun of me, I have two styles, like full glam and then like dirty. So like, how did I get into it? I have an adorable child. His name is Hawk. I have to call him by his name, otherwise he gets very irritated. But Hawk is about 9, and after I had him, I found myself in a really like weird place of just like not being happy. And when you have kids, it suddenly becomes important to set a good example. And I didn't do anything for myself, right? And I did not want him to grow up thinking that that's what women's role was, you know, just to take care of everyone, because that's not at all. So I started thinking about what makes me happy. And the answer to that was anything outdoors. Like, I wanted to go hiking and backpacking, kayaking and all this stuff. I wanted to go outside. And my car at the time, I had like a little sports car, and I couldn't do anything with it. It was I could hardly fit him in the back. Like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go anywhere in it. So it just got me thinking about the fact that I needed to make a change. And the Jeep was the answer to that. I finally found that. It took me a while. And so I found the Jeep, started doing really basic stuff, just camping and doing overlandy sort of things. And then the pandemic hit. And being in the restaurant industry, we were closed for almost a year and a half. And being locked in an apartment for months with a little kid was torture. So the minute all the restrictions lifted, I don't know how it was for you, but in Seattle, it was taken extremely seriously. So everyone was basically locked in their house for months. And so when all those restrictions lifted, I booked every campsite, every trip I could, and we like got out. And from that point forward, it's just kind of been like a slow progression, right? Because we would go out, we'd meet people, I'd tackle like a small obstacle and realize, if I did this small little modification, I could do that better next time. And it just kind of snowballed to where we are now, which is an extremely modified vehicle.
Yeah, talk about some of those modifications because I love that. Like you said, you like to get dirty. You know, your hands are on there. You're obviously hands-on with your modifications on your Jeep and stuff as well. So tell me about some of the things that you've done.
So I have a lot of help because I am not a mechanic at all. But I definitely have a lot of help. I mean, everything suspension-wise is completely different. Mostly my goals have been to keep it very light, very strong, and very reliable. I want everything that I put on it to be better than the pieces I took off. One of my current build partners is Motobuilt, and I'm really excited about that. All of their things are made in America, which is really important to me, and just really high quality engineering and really high quality metal, and it's just fantastic. It's all designed for a Jeep specifically, which is nice as well. Everything fits. Which, when you're making modifications, is a really big deal. Like when you're trying to bolt something on and it doesn't line up, it's just, oh, it's so frustrating. But their products are really high quality. So, I mean, everything at this point is completely different except the engine. The engine is pretty stock except for like a couple of horsepower adding things.
And how did she get her name Rhino,
Yeah,
Rhonda?
that is a great question. And asked me that because it's not super obvious, but in the Jeep world, it's kind of similar to boats, is that we like use radios a lot. And when you're out on the trail and you like run into a person, it's much easier to look at their vehicle with a name on the side of it and radio them and being like, hey, you know, whoever you are. So that's kind of what the name is for. But how she got her name was I'd been wrestling with the idea of putting a name on it. And I just happened to watch this documentary about Ronda Rousey, who is so cool. She's so cool. And I was just like, gosh, she's just like such a badass and she's pretty and she's just like so talented. And it just like, I was like, that's it. That's it. And Rhino is the color. Jeep has really specific colors and specific names for them. And so the color of mine is Rhino. So that's the name.
And you've had a lot of videos and posts with being out there, you know, on these terrains with a lot of other women. Talk about kind of that community that you found and what you guys do together.
Yeah. So this past weekend, this sounds unrelated, but I'll circle it back. I did a Women in Motorsports Summit at Dirtfish, which is a rally school here in Washington. I think there's one in LA too, but it's a very prestigious rally school. And they had women, about six different women who represent different types of motorsports, come and speak. And the overall message was really cool. It was that there needed to be more faces out there because representation is everything. And I think that's really important because when I got into this world of off-roading, I was literally the only woman out there in a sea of guys. And luckily, well, maybe not for the guys out there, but luckily for me, I grew up with brothers and I'm a bartender and nothing fazes me. You can make fun of me. You can do whatever you want. The only thing I'm going to do is do it better than you. So, it's just, it was really not hard for me to break in and roll with the guys. And I think that's just kind of my confidence and who I am. But I started to notice ladies just kind of scattered about of this industry. And I'm not saying I brought them together or anything, but I tried to reach out and grab them and be like, hey, let's hang out. Let's do it. We don't need to go out with the boys. I don't need these boys on my run. We can do it ourselves. And so over the past few years, it's just been making friends, maintaining these friendships, and trying to corral us all and go out and do stuff together because representation is everything.
Yeah, I love it. I love that strength that you have and that attitude.
Yeah.
How has that been? I mean, what do you think you bring over from the two separate worlds that you have? Are there things you bring over from your off-roading experience into your bartending life and vice versa?
It's funny because the restaurant I work at, Cocaine in Ballard in Seattle, a lot of my coworkers are also vehicle enthusiasts. Like my chef, he has a vintage Scout, that's really beautifully built. He also has a little race car. I mean, everybody kind of like in the Seattle industry too, the restaurant industry, there's a lot of people scattered around that are vehicle enthusiasts. So it's kind of an interesting coincidence. So I think it's influenced my world at work as well, because it's kind of a different thing and something that people want to talk about with me. But I think on the flip side of that, the off-road community, I've been able to bring a different face to it. I don't necessarily want to say a different face. I've brought in more of a customer service side to the off-road world, which has been more connecting and kindness and trying to help people and not just be out there showing off, which I do that also.
Where are some of your favorite places to go off-roading?
Well, I spent about 2 months, or not 2 months, 2 weeks out in Moab with my kid a couple of years ago, and that was life-changing. It was, I don't know, have you ever been there? It's
No,
amazing.
it's on my list, but
Oh
I
my
haven't been
gosh,
yet.
it's amazing. Even if you're just hiking, oh my God, you're just walking around and there's dinosaur footprints and petroglyphs, and it's just amazing. So we spent a couple of weeks there. And then Washington, a lot of people don't know, but we have amazing trails up here and really hard ones also. But it's a lot of mud and trees and mountains and rocks. But I mean, that's what I like. So I'm into it.
Are there any places that are on your bucket list you want to drive?
Oh, yeah. I mean, are we talking like bucket list? Because I my like one of my dreams is to ship my Jeep to New Zealand or Australia or Iceland and just spend a couple months exploring. I think one of my more attainable goals though is to drive up to Prudhoe Bay in Alaska. I really want to go all the way up to Alaska. That's one of my goals. And I hate being cold, so it's going to suck, but I'm going to do it.
Gonna be beautiful, right?
Yeah. I'll remember it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you have another challenge that I know you're gearing up for, which we've had Adriana on here. So you're going to be participating in the, or competing, not in the Rebel Rally this year. Tell me how that came to fruition.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. The Rebel I've been following for a few years, and every time I saw anything about it, I was just like, oh, it's just so cool. It embraces everything that I'm all about. I love competing. I love the fact that it's just for women, just totally gets me going. I love that. I had been following it on social media and just connecting with their social media people, whoever that is, I don't know. But I had been chatting with them, and the rally had just ended, and I was just like, I don't, I wrote something somewhere of like, how do I do this? I want to do this. Like, I want to do this. And then I got a whole bunch of messages, like, and Adriana was one of those. And she and I just started talking, and it just was a perfect fit, honestly. So I think that she was really happy with her teammate last year. But her teammate, it sounds like, is one of those women who just wants to do everything. So she's just got her hands in all the pots, and she wants to move on and try something else, which is awesome. But off-roading in the 4x4 world is what I do. So this is something that I want to do this year, and I want to keep on doing it. So right now we're in the process of laying foundations to be able to do that.
And you're going to be the driver and she's going to be the navigator, correct?
Exactly. I don't know anything about navigation. I'm just I'm in awe that she can do this. And I can you even believe like that people can do this? Like they take a physical map and get coordinates and put coordinates on the map and then drive. I just
No, I'm
I'm
like you. I'd be like, just let me drive. You tell me where to go.
Like, tell me to go right or left or whatever. If we need to get to the top of a pyramid, I'm gonna freaking get up there. But I don't know how to map it. I'm really excited to learn that part of it, actually.
What will you do for yourself for preparation as far as like, are there challenges you're going to make yourself do to learn how to navigate different things, or what kind of, what's your training program going to be for yourself?
Pretty extensive, I think. So I'm gonna absolutely learn how to do the navigation portion of it because what I don't want to do is be a burden on her. Like if she needs somebody to bounce ideas off of, I want to be able to understand it. So I'm gonna absolutely learn all of that. And I think that's probably gonna consist of a lot of YouTube University. And I know that REI does classes as well. So I'm gonna probably end up doing that. We also have a couple of scheduled training sessions that I will be participating in. I think the other element of it that I am personally training for, if you will, is the physical part. I already do a lot of exercise things, like hot yoga is one of my main things. And I'm going to definitely keep it that because we are going to be fighting the elements for sure. So I also think I need to up my like strength training as well to make sure that physically I can do this. Because what I don't want to do is get hurt out there.
Yeah. And the hot yoga is probably great for it's mentally challenging, of course, too, being out there, 8 days and having to like keep going and keep persisting. So that'll hopefully kind of keep you zen and balanced, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
I know you guys, so tell people where, if they, I know you're looking for support right now and sponsorship, doing fundraising. How can people contribute if they want to help support your team?
Yeah, we set up a website which is easily accessible, and it is double A rally, spelled out, .com. So feel free to go there, check it out. It's pretty extensive. There's lots of information, lots of ways that you can help out. You can follow us on social media, share a story. I think one of the big things right now is monetary donations. So we'll be doing raffles. We're going to be doing auctions, stuff like that. So just keeping an eye out for that stuff. If you want to support us, we would be really pleased. And also, if you know industry people that are looking to stick their foot in women motorsports and supporting women, please keep us in mind. We would love that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on signing up for this. And I can't wait to, you know, everybody, you guys can follow their journey. They do broadcast that live on YouTube. You can follow along, and it's really just a fun adventure to watch. So good luck to you in that.
Thank you so much. We're really excited. It's a life-changing thing for sure. Like, it's such a big commitment from beginning to end, and even like afterwards, just with press and talking about it. We're really excited to be a part.
So when you get done with that rally, right, after all that time, I think it's 2 weeks total that you're kind of gone.
Yeah.
What would be the first drink that you would make yourself?
Oh my gosh. Man, I don't know. I think, honestly, I'm super simple, and all I want at the end of the day is a really big vodka martini. Like, so that's probably going to be it. Either that or like a Negroni or something refreshing. But I think it's going to be hot as heck. So something delicious and refreshing.
Waiting for you at the finish line.
Yeah.
Awesome. There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about, because you kind of have your hands in a bunch of different things as well, but you also do social media and tech help for a company that does trail coins.
Yeah.
It's trail coins for those people who maybe want to are interested in that.
It's really cool. So you can, when you complete like a trail or something like that in the off-road world, often you can get little badges that say, hey, like I, you know, it's like a sticker, you can put it on your Jeep, like I completed this trail or whatever. And that's cool. And I like stickers, but not everybody likes putting stickers on stuff. So the idea behind Trail Coins is the owners of it, there's two guys, they created this company based off of challenge coins from the military. Do you know what those are?
Mm-mm.
So when you are a military service person and say you did something outstanding, they will give you a coin, like a physical coin that commemorates your achievement. Or say some big general or somebody was retiring, and they would make these coins for their I don't know, crew or whatever it is. So oftentimes, this is just a long tradition, a really long tradition in the military. How that is translated into the world is that oftentimes these guys would go to the bar, and whoever had the coolest coin or whatnot, you know, everybody would put their best coin on the counter of the bar, and then whoever had the coolest coin would get drinks bought for them. So this is like a really long-standing tradition in the military. And the guys who created Trail Coins, it's basically the same idea, but with coins for specific trails around the United States. So when you complete a trail, if you want to purchase some coins to commemorate that, you could give them away as gifts, you could keep them, but it's just kind of like a fun collectible commemorative thing that you can display.
Yeah, that's what a great idea. And they're really cool. I saw on the website, there's such cool designs on there.
Very yeah, cool. They make custom ones too, which I think is really fun. We made a custom coin for Dave Wong, who just won. He wins rock crawling competitions all over the US, and he just won one. But we made a commemorative coin for him last year, which was really cool. So we make them for just individuals as well, which is pretty neat.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you're just doing a little something of everything here and there. I love it. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I've absolutely enjoyed it. I can't wait to, we made some fun videos. We're going to post for everybody out there too. Some drinks that you can make at home. So I appreciate you doing those for us as well. Tell everybody like where they can follow the restaurant, where they can follow you, and where they can follow the coins, all of it.
Yeah, we have a beautiful restaurant in Seattle called Copine. You can Google it and find the website probably pretty easily. On Instagram, they're Copine Project. So that's a fun follow too if you want to look at food. And then if you want to follow my Jeep adventures, that's Rhonda Rhino on Instagram. And I'll have all the rally stuff up there as well.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you guys in the rally. I can't wait. Thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with us and share everything with us. And I look forward to following, looking for more drink pictures and more fun ideas of places to go off-roading.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening and watching. You can follow Tom Girl everywhere on social media. You can check us out anywhere you get your podcast and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we'll see you here again next time. Get out there.
Thank you. Tom Girl.